This morning I have a very simple lesson. I want to talk about what do you want? And we're going to take this lesson from Mark. It's oftentimes don't preach from Mark, and I just thought I'd just do the whole thing from it. I told Mark this morning I was going to preach a lesson about him, so that perked him up pretty good. And I said the good things, and I told him what I was going to do, and he said, well, that was the good Mark. But it's good to, every once in a while, maybe get in one of the Gospels that we don't get, you know, talk about quite as much. But what we want to look at, as I'm going to go through, I'm going to just do little short clips as we go through the Gospel of Mark and talk about things, little incidents that happened, and what did all the people involved, what did they want out of this situation. And I think you'll see that a lot of times what they wanted is some of the similar things that we want when we get in situations. Sometimes you want, you know, you want to learn, and sometimes you don't. And you had different people in this gospel that did not want to learn a lot about Jesus, and you had some others that did. So let's start with Mark chapter 1, verses 2 through 5. Mark 1, 2 through 5. This is talking about John the Baptist. It says, as it is written in the gospels, in the prophets, behold, I send my messenger before your face, who would prepare your way before him. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight. And John came baptizing in the wilderness, preaching a baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. Then all the land of Judea and those from Jerusalem went out to him and were all baptized by him in the Jordan River, confessing their sins. And just a very simple lesson here. This is before the Christ had his ministry cranked up and going. John is out here preaching repentance. And just very simply here, as we can see in this lesson, what did these people in Judea and what were these people that were coming out of Jerusalem, what did they want? And they very simply wanted one thing. They wanted remission of sins. And it says they were confessing their sins. So they were confessing their sins. They were being baptized for the repentance. And you see that as John had started this off, making the way for Jesus, you had a group of Jews here that actually were concerned about where they are and what they had going on and what they had in their life. And they wanted to get that remission of sins. And you look down in verse 32, in Mark 1, verse 32, it says that at evening when the sun had set, they brought to him all that were sick who were demon-possessed, and the whole city was gathered together at the door. Then he healed many of who were sick with various diseases and cast out many demons, and did not allow the demons to speak, because they knew him. You see in this case here that after he performed that first miracle just earlier in this chapter, the people started to come out. And I think that, you know, what were these people wanting? Well, what these folks were wanting, they were wanting to be healed. They had many problems, and they wanted to be healed. Now, Christ is also in this picture. If you look in verse 38, it says, and he said unto them, let us go into the next towns that I may preach there also. So not only in the next towns that he wanted to preach, but also in the towns that he had been in. You see his objective, it might be just a little bit different from their objective. But his objective was to go out and preach. And I think you'll see that that's been his objective all along. Now he performed miracles, and surely this showed them that he was a very special person. And eventually convinced many that he was, in fact, the Savior. But they had different agendas. If you look in Mark 1, 38 through 45, you talk about here where he'd already come to preach in many towns. He wanted to preach in many towns. In verse 39, and he was preaching in their synagogues throughout all Galilee, casting out demons. Now a leper came to him, imploring him, kneeling down to him and saying to him, if you're willing, you can make me clean. Then Jesus, moved with compassion, stretched out his hand and touched him and said to him, I am willing, be cleansed. And as soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy left him and he was cleansed. And he strictly warned him and sent him away at once and said to him, see that you say nothing to anyone, but go to your way, show yourself to the priest and offer for your cleansing those things which Moses commanded as a testimony to them. However, he went out and began to proclaim it freely and to spread the matter so that Jesus could no longer openly enter the city, but was outside in deserted places. And they came to him from every direction. All right, you look at this and they have various things here. First of all, the leper, what did he want? The leper wanted to be healed, just simply. He wanted to be healed. And he had the faith, he knew that Jesus could do it. And you can see from the posture he had here, that he was down on his knees, kneeling down. He says, and the way he so confidently said it, I know that you can heal me if you want to. Jesus, on the other hand, of course, is again continuing to preach the gospel. But you can see here in this passage that Jesus was a man of compassion. He could see that the leper genuinely wanted to be healed, and he felt for him, and he wanted to make that happen, and he did. The one thing that the leper could not do, or did not do, is ask him whenever he told him not to say anything. I sat there and I thought about that passage, and I thought about, you know, the different ones in this congregation that have various ailments. That if they were healed of that, how hard it would be not to talk about it. And he just couldn't keep it to himself. Obviously, I think this man was genuinely excited. This leper was genuinely excited that he had been healed, and he just couldn't contain himself. And he told everyone. So you have various, like I said, we had different things. Of course, that prevented Jesus from being able to stay there in the city because, you know, the people would throng him so, and he went out into the desert. Let's look at Mark 2, 14 through 18, another clip. 2, 14 through 18. And as he passed by, he saw Levi, the son of Alphaeus, sitting at the tax office. And he said to him, follow me. So he arose and followed him. Now it happened as he was dining in Levi's house that many tax collectors and sinners also sat together with Jesus and his disciples. For there were many, and they followed him. And when the scribes and Pharisees saw him eating with the tax collectors and sinners, they said to his disciples, how is it that he eats and drinks with tax collectors and sinners? When Jesus heard it, he said to them, those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick, I did not come to call the righteous, but the sinners to repentance. And the disciples of John and the Pharisees were fasting. Then they came and said to him, why the disciples of John and Pharisees fast, but your disciples do not fast? Well, we've got two things that we're talking about here. First of all, Jesus ran across Levi. Levi was a publican. And I don't see anywhere in this passage right here that they had any physical ailment at all. But he met with these publicans, tax collectors, and sinners. Jesus met with them, he ate with them, and he taught them. And it says that many followed him. So I think it's a matter of what the publicans and the sinners want. They just wanted to hear what Jesus had to say because it doesn't seem to indicate that they had an ailment that he was at healing of theirs in this particular case. So on their agenda was just to hear about Jesus. They wanted to learn. And of course, Jesus' motive has always been right there with it. He wanted to teach. And he had an opportunity here to teach not only them, but he also had an opportunity to contend with the Pharisees. And you look at the Pharisees, what did they want? Well, first of all, the Pharisees were upset that he was eating with publicans and sinners. So they threw a flag. The disciples of John and the Pharisees were upset that the disciples of Jesus weren't fasting. threw another flag. So what were they wanting? I mean, obviously their agenda is a little bit different. And Jesus pointed out to them that his mission was to come as if he were a doctor, because he was. He came to seek and save the lost. He came to heal those that need to be healed. So we see the competing missions here that the people had, and the things that they wanted was not always in line. Oftentimes, the same thing can be said of us today. You know, what we want and what God wants is not always in line. God wants us to hear his word. And sometimes that's not our mission. And it becomes obvious. And we see here that our mission gets a little bit off track every once in a while, just as it did with these guys. Let's look in Mark 3 and verse 20. Starting in verse 20, it said, "And the multitude came together, and they could not so much as eat bread." First of all, you got so many people here, they couldn't even eat. Then verse 21, "And when his own people heard about this, they went out to lay hold on him. They said, he is out of his mind. And the scribes who came down from Jerusalem said, he has Beelzebub. And by the rule of the demon that he cast out devils." Of course, Jesus had a response to that. But what I want to show you in it is, again, the competing missions of what the different people wanted here. Jesus wanted to, again, he wanted to teach. He wanted to show them, you know, not only his mighty power, but to also interact with all the people, to be able to teach as many as he could. But it says here, of course, you got the people here that were from his own country, so they wanted to lay hands on him. In other words, they wanted to grab him, because they said he's out of his mind. So their view was, this guy's crazy. And then the scribes that came down and they seen the miracles, they said he's of the devil. So you could see here at first, and you'll see gradual, the gradual discrediting, trying to discredit Jesus, saying these things about him. He's got a devil, he's losing his mind, you know, and these are people of his own country. And you can see as they ratchet this up as we go further along into the story. In Mark 6, 2 through 4, it said, "When the Sabbath had come, he began to teach in the synagogue, and many hearing were astonished, saying, where did this man get these things? What wisdom is this which he has given, that such mighty works are performed by his hand?" So you got two things you got here so far. What you see here, he spoke with wisdom, and he did great things with his hands. Well, that would be the healing. So they were amazed. They were curious. They wanted to explore more. But then you hear others in the group, "Is not this the carpenter, son of Mary, brother James, Joseph, Judas, Simon? And are not his sisters here with us?" So they were offended at him. And Jesus said, "A prophet is not without honor except in his own country, among his own relatives and his own house." So again, you have competing missions here. Jesus, again, trying to preach and teach and things like that. And you got within his own family, within his own community. They didn't want to hear him because he just grew up right down the road. They recognized him. They knew who he was. They know his brothers. They knew his sisters. And they weren't on board either. So that made it even a stronger case. There's no way. There's no way he is a good man. So that was the things that they wanted out of this. They wanted to discredit him. And the only basis for which they discredited him was that they knew him. They knew him growing up. Now, to discredit him in such a way like that, you have to discount all these miracles that you're hearing about, all of these miracles that they're seeing, all of this wisdom that they're hearing. So what do you have to do that? How can we do that? If we're sitting here and we read these stories, how can we ourselves do that? We have to just stop our ears and close our eyes and just not see what's been in the scriptures. That's the only way that you can do that. It's a competing mission here. And the whole theme of the lesson is, I'm trying to ask this, what do you want? And what do I want? I mean, or do we want to see this? Or would we rather not see this? Because if we don't want to see it, we're not going to see it. But if we want to see it, we can. Let's turn to Mark 7. 2-5. Now when they saw some of his disciples eat bread with the defiled, and that it was with unwashed hands, they found fault. Well, right off the bat, you see where they're looking at. The man is performing miracles. The man is speaking with wisdom. The man is teaching from the scriptures. He is teaching from Isaiah and all of these prophets. He is saying the same things. He is fulfilling the prophecy. And what do you have in this passage? They saw his disciples eat bread defiled with unwashed hands. They found fault. He's teaching the gospel. He's laying the groundwork where you can be saved. And they worried about the hands, whether they washed or not. They're on two different wavelengths. And the Pharisees and all the Jews did not eat unless they washed their hands in a special way, holding the tradition of the elders. When they come from the marketplace, they did not eat unless they wash, and they are many other things which they have received and hold, like the washing of cups, pitchers, copper vessels, and couches. Then the Pharisees and scribes asked him, why do your disciples not walk according to the tradition of the elders, but eat bread with unwashed hands? They didn't want to see. And when you don't want to see, you're going to find any way that you can so you can't see. And so they got tripped up right here because they did not wash hands. In Mark 8, verse 11. It says, the Pharisees came out, began to dispute with him, seeking from him a sign from heaven, testing him. All right, here they come. These Pharisees just come out, and they want a sign. Did they come out to seek the truth? No. Did they come out to help him in teaching the gospel? No. They wanted a sign. They just want a sign. They were testing him. And look at verse 12, how he reacted. And he sighed deeply in his spirit. You ever sighed? It's just like you just, what do they want now? He sighed deeply within his spirit and said, why does this generation seek a sign? Assuredly, I say to you, no sign shall be given to this generation. And he left him and got in the boat. Jesus wanted to teach. They wanted a sign. They didn't really want a sign to be able to believe. They just wanted a sign so they could test him. Different agendas, different missions. Mark 10, verses 1 and 2. And he rose from there and came to the region of Judea by the other side of the Jordan, and multitudes gathered together again as he was accustomed. And he taught them, saying, and the Pharisees came out, asked him if it was lawful for a man to divorce his wife, testing him. All right. The Pharisees have come out once again. He's out there in Judea. He's doing his thing. He's preaching and teaching. They come out and they want to test him. Want to know if it's okay to divorce. Of course, he just quotes the scriptures, puts it back on them. But you see, the mission of the Pharisees, it wasn't to learn. They knew what the law said. Their mission was to test him, to provoke him, trap him. And that's what they tried to do. Mark 12, verse 18. We got the Sadducees. They do not believe in the resurrection. 12, 18 to 23. And some of the Sadducees say there is no resurrection came to him. And they ask him, saying, again, what was the Sadducees' mission? Teacher, Moses wrote to us, if a brother dies and leaves his wife behind and leaves no children, his brother should take his wife and raise up offspring to his brother. Now, I mean, they're going to stretch this one out. They've got this story going here, the Sadducees. If she had seven brothers, and they took the woman, each one of them died. Worked right down the list. The second took her and died, and so on and so forth. So that all seven had her and left no offspring. And last, the woman died. In the resurrection, whose wife would she be? Well, what was the premise for which they asked? It wasn't to learn. I mean, you can ask any question in the world. You can devise it any way you want to. But that question wasn't to learn. That was a question to trap. Jesus went on to say that there was not marriage or given in marriage in heaven. Sadducees didn't even believe in resurrection. They just want to hear what they say, see if they could get something against him. Again, what is their mission? Look to Mark 14. 1 and 2. After 2 days, it was Passover and the Feast of Unleavened Bread, and the chief priests and scribes, you see a lot of them now as we're going to ride on through the rest of this book. The chief priests and the scribes sought him how they might take him by trickery and put him to death. Now you're beginning to see, at first they wanted to discredit him. At first you want to cast doubt about him. At first you sort of want to lay hands on him, get him to stop. But see, now they've done ratcheted this on up. Now the chief priests and scribes are wanting to trick him, and they want to put him to death. He said, but they said, not during the feast, lest there be an uproar of the people. Is it right to kill Jesus? Was it right to hate him like it did? No. What's the only thing holding them back in their mind? They worried about the people. They just didn't want an uproar. They knew they couldn't do that. That would get them in trouble. Had two different missions. Jesus is still on his mission. He's going on his way here as he is going toward the cross. And that's where we're at right now. He is going toward the cross. Yet you've got these chief priests and scribes here that are trying to lay hold on him and set the agenda as they want it. And later in this chapter, verse 9 and 10, 14, 9 and 10, coming back around to some of his own. Assuredly, I say unto you, whether this gospel is preached in the whole world, what this woman has done will be told as a memorial to her. And this is talking about the woman that anointed him. But then it starts in verse 10. Then Judas Iscariot, one of the 12, went to the chief priests to betray him to them. And when they heard it, they were glad and promised to give him money. So he sought how he might conveniently betray him. Well, we know that just talking about, as it mentions here, Judas Iscariot. What was his mission? I'm not even sure Jesus wanted to see him dead. He just wanted to betray him. Judas wanted that money. It refers to him at times in the Bible as one holding the bag, you know, one that would have the money. Judas just wanted to betray him. They were tickled to death because Judas was an insider. They've not been able to get a hold of him up to this point. Judas paved the way. What did Judas want? I think Judas wanted money. What did Jesus want in this? Fulfillment of the scriptures. Salvation for us. What did the chief priests want? They wanted him out of the way. They wanted him dead. And you can see here is all these missions, these things that people are wanting out of the situation as it converges as we go into the last two chapters. And you can see how that everybody's basically going to get what they want. They all been wanting different things, but it's all coming together now as we finish out the chapter. Chapter 14, verse 43 and 44. With the backdrop of the chief priests and the scribes being tickled to death, and you can just see that big smile go across their face whenever he walked up and said, "I'd like to betray Jesus. Can I help?" They said, "Oh, yeah." So they put the plan in motion, starting in verse 43. And immediately while he was still speaking, Judas, one of the 12, with a great multitude of swords and clubs, came to the chief priests and the scribes and elders. And he says, "Now his betrayer," that'd be Judas, "has given them a signal, saying, 'Whoever I kiss, he is the one. Seize him and lead him away safely.' And as soon as he had come, immediately he went up to him and said to him, 'Rabbi, Rabbi,' and kissed him. Then they laid their hands on him and took him." All right. Judas is putting his plan in motion. He's got money coming if he can get this done. He's got the motivation. What he's wanting out of it is laid out there. They've already made the offer. So he went up there, and I just sat there thinking about this. He's face to face with Jesus, ready to kiss him. I wonder if he was eye to eye. I don't know. I don't know if he could even look at him. Can you imagine that scene? One of his own, ready to betray him. He kissed him, and then Jesus just stood there and took it. What was their mission? Judas wanted the money. The chief priest wanted him arrested. Jesus knew he had to fulfill all things. All had a mission, but a very different mission. Jesus knew that there was a promise made to Abraham way back through all the nations, through his family, all the nations would be blessed. He had a mission. Look in verse 55, same chapter. Fast forward here, they've already arrested him. They brought him up here to have a trial. In verse 55, he said, "Now the chief priests and all the council sought testimony against Jesus to put him to death." What's their mission? Put him to death. What's Jesus' mission? Again, it's to teach. It's not to resist. He sat there as a sheep taking this. The chief priests had their mission right before them. They needed testimony. And it says in the next few verses they had a lot of people testified, but they couldn't get them all to, they couldn't get them agree. They couldn't get the testimony to agree, the false testimony. It was just all over the place. So, in verse 16 of this chapter 14, in verse 61, you see basically here the chief priests had to get dirty as they had to get involved in this. They first wanted someone else to do all the testimony, but now they're going to have to get involved in this because it's not going like they planned. They wanted him out of the way. They needed testimony, and it wasn't happening. So they got in there, and they started questioning. Verse 61 beginning. It says, verse 60, "And the high priest stood up in the midst and asked Jesus, 'Do you answer nothing? What is it that these men testify against you?' And he kept silent and answered nothing. Again, the high priest asked him, saying, 'Are you the Christ, the Son of the Blessed?' Jesus finally spoke. He said, 'I am. And you will see the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of power and coming with the clouds of heaven.'" Oh, you just see the high priest now. They went crazy. They tore their clothes. Can you imagine that? They got so tore up, they was tearing the clothes. What further need we of any more witnesses? He said it himself. And you have heard, as he told the council, you have heard the blasphemy. He blasphemed. He's saying he is God's son. He's saying he's going to be sitting at the right hand of power. The chief priest went crazy. And it says, and they all condemned him to be deserving of death. What was the mission? Jesus was to be led to the lamb as a lamb to slaughter. Their mission was to put him to death. The missions are converging. And at the same time, the rest of his mission was to teach us. And we can see how with humbleness of spirit, he went before this crucifixion just to save us. The missions are converging. Mark 15, 14. As he's before Pilate. Pilate said to him, why, what evil has he done? Talking about at the trial, they want him dead. They want him dead because he said he was the king of the Jews. What evil has he done? Pilate said. And they said, they didn't say he'd done any evil. So they cried out again and again, crucify him, crucify him. What did they want? They wanted him dead. What were they going to do to get it done? Any means possible. They started off trying to discredit him. They started off trying to cast doubt on him, as you see in the early passages. But now it's ratcheted all the way up to having him killed. Jesus went along because he wanted to save us. Let's turn to chapter 16. Verses 1-6. And of course, they kill him at this time. He's already been killed. He's been put in the, as we start with chapter 16, he's been laid in the grave. As you remember that from the other accounts, they put him in the tomb. They rolled the stone across. They made it secure. They wanted to make sure he did not get out. What did the chief priests want him that? They didn't want anybody to say that Jesus didn't die. They didn't want anybody to be able to, they didn't want him out. They wanted to make sure they had him. And this is where the missions separate. In 16, 1 through 6, and when the Sabbath was passed, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James and Salome, bought spices and that they might come and anoint him. And very early in the morning, on the first day of the week, they came to the tomb where the when the sun was risen, and they said among themselves, who will roll away the stone from the door of the tomb for us? What did they want? They wanted to anoint the body. What else did they want? They wanted the stone rolled away. Well, and when they looked up, they saw the stone had been rolled away. Can you imagine that? You get there and that stone had been moved. And it was very large. And entering the tomb, they saw a young man clothed in white robes sitting on the right side. And they were alarmed. And he said, do not be alarmed. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him. And here's where the two missions fly, that people, things that they wanted is coming apart. Jesus wanted to teach. Jesus wanted to die. Jesus wanted us to be saved. But Jesus had to arise. And he has risen. And these ladies here were the first to see it and knew that it had happened. So what did the people want in the Gospel of Mark? Well, some wanted healing. Just very simply, they wanted healing. And then if you look back at the feeding the 5,000, some of them, I believe, just wanted to eat. Some of them wanted to learn. And then some of them wanted Jesus stopped. But we know Jesus wanted salvation for all. And for all that wanted it. I ask you today, as we close the lesson, what do you want? As you see the examples laid before you, do you want to see? Do you want to see what the gospel says and what it takes for you to be a faithful Christian? Or you choose not to see and do as others did and resist the word of God? I implore you to open your heart to the word of God and look into it and desire the salvation. I visited with two different families yesterday that had lost loved ones. And cases like it gives you time to reflect. But it's not really always reflecting on their life as you sit there. You reflect on your own life. You take a good look at yourself. Whether you need to do something. Whether you're doing what's right. You know, God commands us all to be baptized into Christ. If you have not done that and desire to do so at this time, we encourage you to do so. And if you've not been living right and you need to make life right and open your heart to God, we encourage you to do so at this time as we stand and sing.